WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross. Jack Nicholson and Kathy Bates are nominated for Academy Awards for their performances in About Schmidt. My guest is the director of the film, Alexander Payne. He also directed Election and Citizen Ruth. About Schmidt is set in Omaha, where Payne grew up. Nicholson plays an insurance actuary who is forced out of the life he knows when he retires and his wife dies suddenly. The movie is loosely based on the novel of the same name by Lewis Begley. The movie also draws on a screenplay that Payne and his writing partner started about 10 years earlier called The Coward, about a retiree in crisis. The Coward had narrative problems Payne couldn't fix. After he was sent a copy of About Schmidt, he found similarities between it and The Coward. His movie drew from both with a generous amount of rewriting. Here's a scene from About Schmidt shortly after the funeral of Schmidt's wife. He's talking with his daughter, played by Hope Davis.
Dad?
Hmm?
Why did you get such a cheap casket?
What?
I could tell you got the cheapest casket. Everybody could.
Oh, that is not true. That is not true. I specifically did not choose, as you say, the cheapest casket. There was one less expensive, which they showed me, and I refused it.
You mean a pine box?
Well, I don't remember what it was.
She waited on you hand and foot. Couldn't you have splurged on her just once?
Hey, what are you talking about? What about the Winnebago out there? What do you call that? That's an expensive vehicle. I didn't want to get it, but I did. That was completely your mother's idea.
She told me she had to pay for like half of it. She said she had to sell some of her stock or something to pay for it.
Well, that was her decision. I was willing to go as far as the Mini Winnie, but no, she had to have the Adventurer. She wanted the whole shebang. What was I supposed to do? Tell her she couldn't? It was her money. No. You can't call me to task on that one. Mm-mm.
Alexander Payne, welcome to Fresh Air. And About Schmidt, Schmidt faces two turning points right at the start of the film, his retirement and the death of his wife. And there's just like his life has become this big empty hole. There's no work, there's no marriage, and there's very little meaning that he can find. But he's the kind of person who doesn't have the introspective tools or the language to either express or comprehend what he's feeling. What kind of challenges does that give to you as the screenwriter to write about a character who's facing this kind of crisis of meaning but has no kind of tools to comprehend or speak it?
Yeah, but that's the point of the film, is the guy who's suddenly aware, waking up to what's missing in his life, but he lacks the tools to correct his life. And some people have said, oh, you know, the character doesn't change, he doesn't grow, he's just miserable through the whole film. And I say, well, yeah, you know, he's made his bed and he has to lie in it. But that's precisely why we used the device of his letters to the little boy in Africa to get some access to his interior life.
Yeah, this is a boy in Africa he adopts through like a TV commercial. And the boy, he confides all of his thoughts to in the letters to this boy, and of course the boy is too young and too culturally distant to comprehend any of it. Had you been watching one of these commercials when you came up with the idea?
Yeah, and I think I came up with the idea a long time ago, and just because I was watching one of those ads, and oh, soon you'll be corresponding with your foster son or daughter, and I thought, well, I don't know, what would I say? And then you just take that thought to its most absurd extension, and you just, you know, pour out your whole life and the specifics of your life. And then later, I think when I was initially alone writing The Coward about this old guy in Omaha, older fellow in Omaha who retires, I thought, well, what if he sponsors a boy in Africa and uses him as his unseen, distant, and absurd confessor?
Well, Jack Nicholson is nominated for an Oscar for his performance in About Schmidt. What do you have to do to get Nicholson to be in your movie?
Well, in this case, it was, in a way, alarmingly easy because About Schmidt, the book, had been submitted to me by two producers, one of whom is a guy named Harry Gittes, like Gittes of Chinatown, who is Jack Nicholson's very good old friend. And so seeking to create a film for his friend, Mr. Nicholson, Harry Gittes had found the book About Schmidt and had shown it to Jack Nicholson, and Jack Nicholson had read it and said, yeah, potentially this is interesting, and if you get a decent script conjured up, show it to me and I'll consider it. So that's when Gittes and Michael Bessman found me, and then I expressed interest and then lured Jim Taylor into working with me on it. And so we knew while writing the script that Jack Nicholson would be the first actor to read it when we finished, with no assurances whether he would take it or not, of course. So we finished the second draft, and Nicholson read it the next week, and then I met him, and he said he wanted to do it. So it was fairly easy. I mean, it was hard getting, I mean, working on the screenplay was very hard, of course, as it always is, but it worked out very nicely that way.
Well, after Nicholson accepted the part,
yeah,
were the questions he asked you about the character of Schmidt, you know, things he wanted you to explain to him, or, you know, interpretations of the character he asked about?
No, he didn't really. We spent many hours. Our rehearsal process, if you can call it that, was simply my going to his house and spending many hours in conversation with him. Mostly not about the work we were about to do, but about other things, so that he's a completely enjoyable guy. And then also we were both interested in getting to know each other before beginning the film. And I had basically just two directions to give him, one of which was that I needed him to be a small man, a very mediocre, unself-aware fellow, and that also he act as someone who is older than he is, Nicholson is, because even though he's more or less the same age as Warren Schmidt, he in real life is much more youthful and vital than Warren Schmidt is. So I needed him really to be, because the older Warren Schmidt is in the movie, then the more the movie's about what it's about in terms of aging and death.
Anything you found particularly interesting about Nicholson's approach to getting into the role and preparing for the role?
Yeah, how profoundly, I don't know if you want to call it method or what, but just how profoundly he was living the part of Warren Schmidt. And the months preceding shooting, he would tell me he would just pat around his house and become and be thinking about Warren Schmidt, and even while shooting, remaining in character, keeping that alive, keeping Warren Schmidt alive inside of himself all the time. And he confessed to being very depressed because he saw he was getting into Warren Schmidt through Schmidt's depression. And he was very happy when shooting ended because he could kind of throw off that onus of a depressive man.
Yeah, and the interesting thing about Schmidt's depression is that he doesn't even know he's depressed. It's the kind of depression in someone who doesn't understand depression, isn't aware of depression.
Wouldn't admit to it, would never, very Midwestern, would never consider going to a psychiatrist or a therapist. And even in his letters to Ndugu, when he's confessing how he really feels, he often just as much lies to Ndugu as well and puts a happy face on what he's doing.
Is that an approach to living in the world, to seeing the world that you understand because you've seen that?
Yeah, you see it a lot. You hear it a lot among Americans. I mean, it's hard for me to generalize, but I certainly have experienced that a lot. No, I'm fine. You know, I'm a little down these days, but I'm getting by. And that's pretty much a survival mechanism.
If you're just joining us, my guest is Alexander Payne. He co-wrote the screenplay and directed the movie About Schmidt. Kathy Bates is nominated for an Oscar for Best Supporting Actress. Can you describe her character in About Schmidt?
A very overbearing, garrulous, sometimes awful woman who would basically tell her life story to people at the bus stop.
Right.
That's what I would say. What would you say?
I'd also say, and we'll get to this in a moment, that she's incredibly inappropriate with her behavior and her sexuality.
Yeah, everything that Schmidt is not.
Yeah. Well, let me play a short clip with Kathy Bates. And the Nicholson character, his daughter, is marrying Kathy Bates' son. So Nicholson is at Bates' house for a little pre-wedding dinner. And he realizes this family is living on a different planet than the planet he lives on, because they're like ex-hippies. They're, in his mind, incredibly inappropriate in their behavior. Anyways, she's talking with him about raising her son, who she loves, but Schmidt really hates him, and Schmidt thinks that this son is incredibly unworthy of his daughter.
Now, Randall, he knows how to treat a woman. Honestly, don't you think he's something special?
Well, I know Jeannie seems to be very taken with him.
Well, that always helps, doesn't it? When I had my hysterectomy, that boy did not leave my side for 1 minute. Not 1 minute. People used to raise their eyebrows because I breastfed him until he was almost five, and I say, well, you just look at the results. I raised a sensitive, devoted boy who has turned into a sensitive, devoted man. And he's also quite easy on the eye, if I do say so myself. Don't you agree?
That's Kathy Bates and Jack Nicholson in a scene from About Schmidt. My guest is the director, Alexander Payne. Now, the scene that's most talked about that Kathy Bates is in is the scene in which, you know, a little later in the movie, she's invited Schmidt to take a dip in her hot tub. And then, much to his shock and dismay, she strips and climbs in with him. I've heard a lot of people talking about that scene. And I know a lot of people have interpreted it as, isn't it wonderful to see a mature woman who has a full body being so comfortable with her sexuality? And my take on the scene is, God, she's behaving so inappropriately in that scene.
Yeah.
It's not about being comfortable with her sexuality.
For me, it's just what that woman would do. I mean, I don't think she has the hot tub in her own backyard, and why would she wear anything when she goes into it? She doesn't think anything of it.
Right. When did you break the news to Kathy Bates that she'd be naked in a scene?
Well, it's in the screenplay, so she read the script even before I ever met her, so she knew it was there. And she wanted to play the part. She had some concerns about that scene, so that it wouldn't be exploitative in any way, so that it would, so, you know, she wanted to be comfortable in the moment of doing it, and then comfortable also sitting in the cinema with other people watching that scene. So we talked about exactly what would be shown and how we would shoot it, and then we did it.
I guess if I were her, I'd want to make sure that if people laughed, they were laughing at the moment and at the conflict of the two personalities, as opposed to laughing because she's not skinny like everybody else who we see nude in the movies.
Yeah, but I don't think about how we see everybody else in the movies. It's such a weird thing. We're so not used. I mean, I get so many questions about this film that are more about the context in mm-hmm. which this film, about other films. But, mm-hmm. How did you get Nicholson to do this? And, you've got a slightly older woman getting naked here, and she's not thin as a rail. And I don't know. I never really know how to answer those questions. And if I'm lured into a political discussion somehow about, image of women, I don't really know what to say. All I know is it's appropriate for that character, and it's funny.
Right.
And it's funny. And maybe it's a problem not with my film, but with other films, that something like this would just cause such a, not a major fuss, but I certainly get a lot of questions about it.
My guest is Alexander Payne. He directed the film About Schmidt and co-wrote the screenplay. We'll talk more after a break. This is Fresh Air. My guest is Alexander Payne. He directed the film About Schmidt and co-wrote the screenplay. He also directed the films Election and Citizen Ruth. How did you fall in love with movies?
Oh, I fell in love with movies very early in my life. My parents, my mother in particular, were big moviegoers, and they would take me. And also, I became very interested early on in life in old movies. I liked silent comedy very much. and then movies from the 30s, particularly Warner Brothers, gangster pictures, and Universal horror films. And I just became kind of obsessed with older movies, particularly older comedies. And my father had a restaurant. He was partners with his father, my grandfather, in a restaurant in downtown Omaha. And we had not even a Super 8, but a regular 8 projector at home, which had been a bonus from Kraft Cheese. And in those days, you'd get 3 or 12-minute shortened versions of films at the camera store. So we had some of that. My brothers had bought some of those, and I was I liked.
Wait, you had 3-minute versions of films?
Yeah.
Like what
yeah.
films did you see the 3-minute version of?
Oh, Frankenstein Meets the Wolfman, and Abbott and Costello movies, and Mummy movies, and there used to be a company called Castle Films, and then later there was Blackhawk Films in Davenport, Iowa. That was much more serious because you could buy whole silent features from them as well as two-reel shorts. In regular 8 and Super 8 formats, as well as 16. But I was a kid. I started buying these films early on and into my teens and sending away for because, you know, this is before video. This is in the 70s, 60s and 70s. And so there was no video, obviously. And to see old movies, you had to scour the TV guide every week. Or if you were lucky enough to have any kind of revival house in town, or you had to send away for them and actually get prints. And the cheapest way to do it was regular 8.
Do you think watching so many silent films and early comedies affected your sense of what you want from a movie as a director, or what kind of performance you want from actors, what kind of look you want?
Well, I think so, because even though my films are very written and the verbal aspect is very marked, I think, really what I'm more interested in is characters in space. And finding dialogueless solutions to getting across exposition, you know, searching for cinema somehow. And I'm a big sucker for gags, and the Golden Globes a couple of weeks ago, they were calling about Schmidt a drama, which is fine. That's how the Hollywood Foreign Press and New Line decided to submit it. But I always start out making comedies, but comedies rooted in maybe serious subjects.
Didn't Nicholson actually almost correct them when
yeah,
accepted
he said,
the awards?
Yeah,
did anyone notice this is a comedy?
Yeah, well, he said he was, I don't remember exactly what he said, but befuddled and a little bit ashamed because he said, I thought we were making a comedy.
That's right, yeah. I guess you thought so too, right?
Yeah, well, I'm surrounded by very funny collaborators because I work with the same team over and over again, my co-writer and composer and cinematographer and production designer and editor and casting people. And we're always looking for what's funny. I mean, hopefully, and sometimes we turn away from what's funny and let something serious be serious. You have to have that. But I think I kind of lament that comedies are underappreciated these days in terms of being able to treat serious subjects.
When you fell in love with movies, how did you know that what you wanted to do was direct?
Oh, I didn't know. I didn't know for the longest time. As a kid, I wanted to be a projectionist at first, and then, you know, as a little kid. And then, in college, I mean, the idea of going to film school was such a distant and far-off and seemingly unrealistic dream. But when I was a senior in college and thinking about what professional school I would attend, really all I could think of was journalism and film. And so I applied to Columbia Graduate School of Journalism and 5 film schools. And then said, well, let me see what I get into and then I'll decide. Because I had done no film work in college at all. And then when I got my acceptance letters to film schools, I thought, oh, I have to go. I have to try this.
Did you ever get to sit in the projectionist booth with a professional?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I've done that a lot. It's fun.
I mean, when you were young, did you do that?
No, I didn't. I never did. I have since then, but I didn't as a kid.
What's fun about it once you're a filmmaker and an adult?
I don't know. It's just, I like the chatter of the projector. I mean, it's corny stuff. You're asking me to say corny things, but I like the smell of film and the chatter of the projector and, I don't know, just all that corny stuff.
So what is your next project? Can you talk about it at all?
Yeah, sure. It's the adaptation of a so far unpublished novel called Sideways. And it's about two fairly loser guys from San Diego who go wine tasting for a week, the week before one of them is to be married. And it's about their rather pathetic misadventures during that week.
Well, congratulations on the success of About Schmidt. And I want to thank you so much for talking with us.
Oh, it's been such a pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Alexander Payne directed the film About Schmidt and co-wrote the screenplay. Jack Nicholson and Kathy Bates are nominated for Oscars for their performances in the film. Here's Nicholson reading a letter to the Tanzanian orphan he sponsors through the mail. I'm Terry Gross, and this is Fresh Air.